This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The stock market stabilizes, at least for now. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This morning, let's get right to it. We see the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 37 points. That's about a 10%. The S&P 500 is up just a single point. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 0.3%. This after the Dow fell 3.6% yesterday, 1,031 points. The S&P 500 has erased all of its gains of the year so far. This with investors worrying what the coronavirus will do to the world economy. The key index in Hong Kong rose today, although Tokyo today was down in line with Wall Street yesterday. Money has poured into bonds in the last day, pulling the benchmark interest rate, the 10-year Treasury yield, down to 1.35%. Guy Labat is chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. A flight to what is seen as a safe haven, Guy?
That's a piece of it. You know, there's a couple of things going on underneath the hood. Number one is that with the economic risks from the coronavirus, the Federal Reserve is more likely to cut interest rate. And so the markets are pricing in rate cuts, and that brings longer-term rates down as well. So the second piece is really what you mentioned, which is a grab for safety. And that's a piece that tends to be more variable and can sort of push away from the markets or disappear within a very short period as well.
Yeah, to just rest on your last point, don't think if you're going to lock in a mortgage in 10 days, now is the lowest moment ever. Things could turn around even today.
Certainly. And, you know, there's a few different ways that interest rates affect people. Number one that I tend to deal with is through their investments and their bond portfolio. But many individuals out there borrow money for a mortgage, as you referenced, a car loan or what have you. And loans tend to lag the bond markets by at least a few days, oftentimes even a couple weeks. So don't expect mortgage rates to come down 1% tomorrow.
Guy Labat, he's the chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Fixed income is code for what we've been talking about. Guy, thank you.
Thank you, David.
The Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar appears at 4 congressional hearings this week, starting today in the Senate. Questions will likely include the administration's budget request, which includes cuts to HHS spending that could affect Medicare and Medicaid, and that virus. Here's Marketplace's Jack Stewart.
The Trump administration's proposal includes funding cuts for the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Right now, the CDC is in the spotlight as questions over containment of COVID-19 keep growing. J. Stephen Morrison at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says expect Alex Azar to face questions about the CDC's budget.
Congress is going to say, wait a second, this is another instance of us being stuck in a cycle of crisis and complacency, or crisis and neglect.
He says there'll be requests for more robust long-term budgets for key health agencies. Chris Meekins, analyst at Raymond James, was formerly an HHS preparedness official. He says the U.S. is the global leader in public health preparedness, but officials need to be selective in their spending.
To make sure they are prioritizing the things that truly are the highest need for the public and not just focusing on science for science's sake.
Congress has previously rejected Trump administration budgets proposing similar cuts. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
There are at least 18 companies hard at work looking for something that knocks down or vaccinates against this virus. A Massachusetts company called Moderna sent some test vaccine yesterday to federal health experts in Maryland with hope for a human trial by maybe late April. And stock in Gilead Sciences rose nearly 5% yesterday after the World Health Organization said one of Gilead's existing drugs might help treat people with the coronavirus. On the vaccine front, let's take a visit to a lab in London. The BBC's Stephen Ryan filed this for us.
The race is on, and scientists at Imperial College in London have been hard at work for the last month on a vaccine. It's built using a gene sequence provided by researchers in China, as Dr. Paul McKay, a vaccine immunologist, explains.
We made the vaccine within 2 weeks, and then the next week we put it into animals. So it's been very quick. Usually it would take us months to do that.
So let's talk science. Back in his office, Dr. McKay tells me where the name comes from.
Coronavirus is called corona because it looks like a crown. So it looks like it's got little halos on the outside. And it's that exact halo. It's the thing that we have got the sequence off and that we are making the vaccine to.
In short, what you now have goes through a process of reproduction so you can deliver it as a vaccine. But who will do it? Some of the pharma giants, including GlaxoSmithKline, have decided not to develop their own for now. Dr. Thomas Brewer, Chief Medical Officer at GSK Vaccines, explains why.
The current outbreak, since more than 18 companies work on vaccine candidates, we believe developing yet another vaccine candidate would be less advantageous for the world.
The time horizon plus costs of developing a vaccine are hard for companies to shoulder. Take Ebola vaccines, for example. Companies were only able to get approval from regulators late in 2019, 5 years after the crisis. Despite substantial investments in research and development, only now is the vaccine available. For coronavirus, GSK, along with Sanofi, are still involved in the process. They are sharing their technology platforms with developers who are working to bring the vaccine to market.
Doors open.
Meanwhile, back at Imperial College, Dr. McKay is hopeful that they'll have success, and soon. And no, it's not as simple as sharing your scientific formula to speed up the process. Different labs often make different kinds of vaccine. At Imperial College, they've been developing a technology for the last 3 years that helps to build vaccines more quickly. And that's helping to speed up work on a coronavirus vaccine.
I wouldn't like to consider it to be a race or a competition. I would prefer to see it as a collaborative race. It's not that we're setting out to be the first or that we think that our vaccine will be the best. One of our personal goals for our team is an exercise to see how quickly we can get into human clinical trials.
So scientists here hope to begin human clinical trials in late May or early June. After that, it's up to drug companies to license a vaccine so it can eventually reach the shelves of pharmacies across the globe. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.